Okay, so we're talking about the Chasam Sofer, and while in general we'll be learning certain sugyas, one more sort of sheer focused almost entirely on the Chasam Sofer, in a way which can be, I think, very, very important. And I want to sort of introduce it by pointing out a couple of things. The Chasam Sofer is undoubtedly one of the most well-known, identifiable, and influential poskim and thinkers of the last several hundred years, and his influence is still very, very much felt until this day. We quoted last week how different worlds try and like pull themselves as being like, we are the true followers of the Chasam Sofer. Rabbi Elazar Melamed arguing that like the Tilu Mi world are the true followers, I think innovative and creative as that may be. What's incredibly intriguing is that many of us may know, I say it just by way of introduction, that sometimes it's hard to know, like, when you have different groups in Judaism, like within Orthodoxy, different groups, those that are more modern, those that are more yeshivish, conservative and reform. So one of the questions which many sociologists struggle with is how do you classify someone as being, let's say, monorthodox as opposed to being more yeshivish, as being conservative as opposed to being monorthodox? Like, where's the line exactly? So there are academics that argue, and I think this is just really intriguing, that what you really do is you start with the Chasam Sofer, and depending on how far away you are from the Chasam Sofer, tells us where you really are. So if you're super far away from the Chasam Sofer, that makes you reform. If you're a little bit less far away, that makes you conservative. A little bit less far away, then you're modern. Chasam Sofer becomes like, in a certain sense, almost described as like the purest form of a very intense kind of frumkeit. So there are going to be people who argue with him for sure, and that's why within Orthodoxy, within the firm world, there are those that are going to be on a different side than the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer for many is so powerful and so influential that several hundred years later, when you're talking about how you clarify or how you classify different people, a starting point for like hashkafa is the Chasam Sofer. And depending on how you relate to the Chasam Sofer, it's going to impact where you really are. So I want to begin, and we're going to do it in three sort of a steps, I think, but to begin in the following way. There is a Mishnah Meseches Orla. This becomes a line which the Chasam Sofer quotes many times in Tshuvas out of context. It's a line which he says about himself that he's very fond of saying. And that is that the Mishnah in Orla is talking about the Gemara Kiddushin also, the Isser of Chadash, that there is a prohibition at times of the year to eat the new grain. Until we bring Karban Omer, there's an Isser to eat the new grain. And the Mishnah says there, within one day, HaChadash Aser Min HaTorah B'chol Makom, that whether you are in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, the Isser of Chadash applies in all locations. The Isser of eating the new grain. The Chasam Sofer lifts that line, and the Chasam Sofer says it more as a sweeping rule. The sweeping rule being Chadas Aser Min HaTorah B'chol Makom, that new things are always Aser, and new things are always bad. That is the line of the Chasam Sofer. Today, a little bit, is to understand what he meant by that and what he didn't mean by that, what exactly the perspective or worldview of the Chasam Sofer exactly was. So we'll begin by noting the Chasam Sofer as a whole is living in an era in which there is a strong sort of a beginning of reform, maskilim kind of a movement. Chasam Sofer is in Pressburg, he's in Hungary. And in general, we know there may be different perspectives in how you handle it when there are people sort of challenging certain things that had always been accepted as true, and now people are pushing the envelope a little bit. And there are some who are going to accommodate more. Let's try to be as makel as we can to keep certain people within the fold. They want certain things, let's look for leniency. And there are going to be others that are going to say, no, it's a battle, we have to hold the line. The Chasam Sofer was in the camp, in that fight against reform, in that fight against the maskilim, let's hold the line, it's a strong battle. And in that sense, Chasam Sofer is going to say, often achadas asum in haTorah b'chol makom, that new innovations are bad. That new innovations are bad. In many ways, one of the people that he takes on at times is Moses Mendelssohn. Moses Mendelssohn is a decently controversial figure who wrote a Sefer in Chumash. Wrote a Sefer in Chumash of a translation of Bior, one that was a little bit controversial. The Chasam Sofer was so intense about this point that in his tzava, in his will, his ethical will, when he died, so one of the things he wrote to his children was, Atem b'ni b'nosai, my sons and daughters, my grandchildren, v'chule, don't get caught up in l'sola lilos b'rashas anashim poli avon, hachadashim mikarov nisrachu meis Hashem v'saraso. Don't get caught up in those that are bringing you far away from Ribono Sha'olam, these new people who are coming around now and arguing certain things. And he says, uv'sifrei reish mem dala, that's a reference to Moses Mendelssohn, al tishluchu yad, Don't touch those farim. What should you do? Tanakh and Perish Rashi, the Torah and Perish Ramban, Tanu, Vitzilmadu Espanechem, Tagu. That's what you should be learning. That's Rosh Emunas. That's the basis of our Emuna. But stay away from the writings of these people who are coming and are very, very dangerous. It's one of the primary messages giving over to his children. What's fascinating, as we pointed out last week and referenced this week, every world wants a Chatzim Sofer on their side because he's like the Gadol Hador. So the Maskilim are somewhat stuck because, like, I want the Chatzim Sofer on my team also a little bit, but whereas Maskilim try to pull that move with the Gra also in a bit of a difficult way, it's very hard to pull that move with the Chatzim Sofer because he's all about fighting them. So Professor Schneer Lyman has an article where he points out that some of the Maskilim actually argues this was a misprint. And instead of saying Uvesifre Reish Memdalid, a reference to Moses Mendelssohn, it really said Ches Memdalid, Chemed, like books of like illicit, like descriptions of Arayos and the like, that those books he was telling them not to learn. Uvesifre Chemed, books that talk about like taivas and things like that you should try to avoid. Because the Maskilim were trying to argue, like even the Chasam Sofer was not really like so opposed to everything. But he was, and it's not true, and it's Rosh Yitevos Reish Memdalet, and that much we know. And the Chasam Sofer was really very, very strongly against things because Chaz Aser Min HaTorah. He himself, in a very, very famous tshuva, printed by the Maritz Chayes. Maritz Chayes was one of the great giants also of the time of the Chasam Sofer. He is much more accommodating and open to the world of, he's a Frum Rav, but he's much more open to the Maskilim, and it's a big discussion there between Maritz Chayes and the Chasam Sofer, an issue in regards to burial of dead bodies, not for now. And the Chasam Sofer wrote a tshuva to the Maritz Chayes, but the Maritz Chayes published a sefer called Darchei Horah. And the Chasam Sofer says as follows, he's describing in many ways like the way he views things. Amashta Kasafti b'michtavei HaKodem, it's in the middle of a long correspondence back and forth. That which I wrote, HaChatz Aser Min HaTorah, I want to be precise. I was specific when I paralleled this to the Isser of Chadash. New things are problematic. Why do I know this is true? Because I'm going to tell you my Mesora that comes from my Rebbein. We don't look for kulas. We're not trying to be accommodating. That's not what we're doing. Asher osam heimivakshim. They're looking for kulas, but I'm not going to give it to them. And if you give them a bit of kulas, you're going to have massive, like slippery slope type arguments. You open up a little bit, suddenly everything's going to fall apart. Akhid Ekad Chasam Sofer says that there are times where he may present a particular iser as being more chamor than it actually is. So for Halanas Hameis, he may invoke a particular shita to make it sound like it's an iser doraisa of an asay and a los asay, and he's dafka not going to quote a Chavos Yara potentially about how things are only in Sidur Rabbanan. He says, no. He says, Nika Safti, Elon Smeis, Nispo Asay, Vitov Laha'alos Ha'iser. It's good sometimes to pump up the severity of an Iser. And I know that you quoted the day of the Chavos Yair that the Iser of not bearing a body in a certain case is only to Rabbanan. But Be'im Negat, don't reveal that tshuva. Kibam Naseim HaRabim, Rabu Eilub Ismanenu, Achiyomer Be'in El Choshon Divri Rabbanan. People aren't as careful, aren't as machbid. So the Chasam Sofer, that's Chadash Aser Min HaTorah. So to begin a little bit to understand things. So the Chasam Sofer in general, when people are pushing for new innovations, his gut instinct always is, hold the line. Hold the line. Don't give in. If you give in, you're going to lose. One of the reasons why he's so important, because so many discussions taking place nowadays are influenced by this larger question. How much you're accommodating, how much you're not accommodating. You hold the line, you don't hold the line. There was a big give and take in Eretz Yisrael this week. Rabbi Benny Lau, who was a rabbi in Yerushalayim for a while, wrote a guide to be more accommodating to, I think, LGBT couples and ways that they could become, I guess, a little bit more integrated in the lens of halacha. And there was a very strong letter that was published a day or two ago with many of the older Talmidim of Tzvi Yehuda Cook. Who wrote very strongly, it's a Chil Hashem, and it's ridiculous, politically. And part of that question, so many of the questions of women's issues, so many questions come up, this Shaila, you're accommodating or not accommodating to certain kinds of new innovations. And the Chasam Sofer, at least in that particular time, understood that you have to be very, very, very strong. Very, very strong. Now, some people misinterpret something about the Chasam Sofer. And here again, this is all to understand when we learn a lot of the Chasam Sofer's Torah, it's important to get this background. Some people misunderstand something. The Chasam Sofer was not opposed to Chiddush. He was not opposed to Chidushei Torah. He was not opposed to new things. He was opposed to a particular kind of new innovations. But if you look, the Chasam Sofer on a Derech Halima level we saw last week, Nizaskama to Sefer Kesef Nifchar, was of the opinion that in teaching Talmidim sometimes, you have to learn how to not give Chidushim over. You have to know when it's good just to present the material, make things clear, keep it basic, don't get too fancy. But the Chasam Sofer was a big believer, as people grow and develop in learning, that Chidushei Torah are very, very important. In the piece here, in source number 6, the Chela Gimel of the Drushas of the Chasam Sofer, he has a very fundamental insight in the way that he relates to Talmud Torah and the way that he relates to Chidushei Torah. He says as follows, V'shiyadua, ki ikir kavanaso b'nesinas ha-Torah, the primary goal in giving us the Torah, hu ba'asher she'anachnu avadav ve'ech na'avod ve'anachnu lo neda ma na'avod. Says Chasam Sofer, the primary goal of getting Torah is to know what to do. For that reason, the Chasam Sofer, where I believe when he would give shir, it was important to always have a good maskana of what the dinim are. That's what it's always about. And that's why v'gisavo yamim v'layla, what's the real reason why we are learning Torah, in many ways, is to know what to do. So argues the Chasam Torah, v'aimin ha'roi lahagos b'torah kiim lahasik ha'din, the real reason to learn Torah is to know what to do, and to be clear about some of those things. And here's a sharp line, v'lo chas v'shalom livnos yamein b'pilpul shel hevel v'dovrei shkarim, and not to waste your time with these like ridiculous pilpulim, these incredibly complex kinds of intellectual Torah that doesn't lead you to a clear maskana. It doesn't mean the Chasam Sofer Sfarim are just pure recitation of dinim. He's referring to a particular style of learning which was more geared towards like intellectual whatever and not even focused that much understanding main principles in the sugyas. And he says, okay, that's my primary goal. But where do chidushim come in? V'im yischachu lanu dvarim. And if you get a chiddush at some time, that's a wonderful thing. Because says Chasam Sofer, that's what we're davening for when we daven v'sein chalkenu b'sorasecha. To give us our chelek in Torah. What's our chelek in Torah? Our chelek in Torah are our chidushim. But the Chasam Sofer says you have to be very cautious. Because the primary reason why you're learning is never for chidushim. Chidushim are not why you learn. Chidushim are, I'm learning to understand well the basic dinim, but when you do, you will get chidushim. You will get chidushim. He says, however, be very careful with your chidushim. Gam kamapam im terem yavo el ha'emes. Sometimes you're learning. It's the beginning of Seder, and you have a chiddush that hits you. So you have to know that sometimes in the beginning, you're mechadesh dvarim she'enem amitiyim. Things that are emes. V'zeba miklipos and echazim. This comes referencing certain Kabbalistic terms. It's rooted in certain bad places, these Torahs that you have. So you have to learn how to keep on learning a little bit. V'chayiv adam l'chapes heitev u'machapes shamesh ki kol tark l'hotia ochla mitoch apsoles. You have to know how to search and how to derive your quality chidushim. It's undoubtedly important. Chasam Sofer, the goal is not chiddush. The goal is to understand the dinim well. But in the course of trying to understand things, you will end up being mechadesh, your unique chelek, v'sein chalkenu b'sorasecha. But that unique chelek that you have, don't assume that because you have an original insight, oh, for sure it's true. But that's your initial hargasha, and keep on learning, and build your chiddush as much as you can. That's the reason why you're doing it. It requires Yad Deshmaya, it requires a lot of work, but there is something about the power of chidushim, of knowing what it can do and what it means. He has a variety of lines where he plays with the power of chiddush. Source number 7 on the sheet, never done before, there's an index of mafteach, of the Chasam Sofer's drushas. It's an amazingly well done job. Chasam Sofer gave long drushas, and it's very hard. Like, if you're not going to sit down and read like a lot of pages on just his drusha on Rosh Hashanah, so you want to find like particular pieces where he's saying something relevant, something that you're looking into. So they have a mafteach, and that way it's a mafteach on Shas. He quotes a Gemara. You can look it up. He quotes this. You can find out. I'm learning Bab Metzia. So I go to the Chasam Sofer in the Mafteach, and I look in the Bab Metzia in the back section. It tells me all the places in the Chasam Sofer's drashas where he quotes Gemaras in Bab Metzia. Okay? Very, very helpful. It's also done by topic. So if I want to know all the things in the drashas Chasam writes about Tefillah, so I have an index. It's a separate volume, an index where I can get things. So here I just took out like one-line summaries from the index about insights he has about the power of Chidushei Torah. The power of Chidushei Torah. Chel Dalad. Because Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael that koach to mechadesh Torah. Next, in Chelek Dalad also. Hashem gives every single day. Hashem is constantly giving b'chol yom a new koach to mechadesh, new chidushim. Don't think it happened one time, but there's a new koach every day to be mechadesh chidushim. When a tzaddik is mechadesh Torah, it's a form of ruach kodesh, says Chatzim Sofer in Chelek Hay. He says that bischus chidushei Torah, as a result of being mechadesh Torah, zochin leor ha'elyon haganos b'tzion. That those who are mechadesh Torah, they are zocha to get revealed to them a certain light that's only found in the world of tzion. Those who are mechadesh in Torah are zochin lemenuchas olam haba, aide olamos shebaru b'chidushei Torah. Because the Torah is so great that when you're mechadesh Torah, it's like you're building worlds in shamayim. And then la'asid lavo and olam haba la'achar me'av eshem. When a person passes away, they're going to have a portion of the world to come, commensurate towards, corresponding to all the chidushim that they had. And that last piece we'll just reference: kol davar shenischadesh l'tamid chacham. Anything which a tamid chacham is mechadesh, because baruch hu omer tamid chacham bini ze kach hu omer. Hashem quotes you in the Beis Medrash Shalmaila. Hashem says, "This tamid chacham, my son." This is what he's mechadesh. This is what he's mechadesh. So in a certain sense, what you find for Chasam Sofer, and this is why it's so important, is it's not like, and here's an important Torah. On the one end, on like a public policy level, on a halakhic level often, in certain fights against modernity, so the Chasam Sofer is ferociously hardcore. Chadas asr min haTorah b'chol makom. He asers a whole lot of different things. But that doesn't mean that he's a person that is not himself in his own learning going to be very much a believer in the importance of being innovative. What he's nervous about are innovative practices which come and are really not so appropriate. So as an example, this is true for a lot of figures, and it's important to appreciate this. Rav Shach, whose yard site I think is either today or yesterday, Rav Shach is Rav Shiva Panovich. Rav Shach was the leader in many ways of the Haredi Tzibor here in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shach, in a certain sense, was very strong on holding the line about a lot of different things. It's important to hold the line. It's important to stay strong. His Sefer Avi Ezri is filled with chidushim. It's filled with creative, innovative Torah and innovative insights. So the fact that someone happens to be strong and holding the line and not wanting certain changes in policy doesn't mean that they can't be innovative. Doesn't mean that they can't be innovative. They can have very much connected to the world of Chidushim and the world of Chidushei Torah in a way which is very, very important. What I want to do with those sort of two hakdamas in mind is look at one issue which took place. It's not the most heated of issues, and sometimes looking at an issue that none of us are invested in is good because no one either gets offensive or defensive because I don't think we're so passionate about the question we're going to speak about, but it's a really help. I mean, you know what? I'm actually intrigued. But it's, as we build it up, I'm not saying what it is yet. But it is something which I think is intriguing. But it follows. Number one, policy level being very strong. On the other hand, innovative in his Torah, and sometimes they combine in a way which is actually fascinating. The shaila is as follows. You're building a shul, or rebuilding a shul. Okay. The hot topic, which often takes place in rebuilding a shul, has to do with the mechitza. How big should it be? Low should it be? And here's a shaila for Chasam Sofer, which is this hashkafic shaila. Do you try to make it as low as possible because maybe that's a way of making people feel more comfortable? Do you make it as high as possible to fight against a movement to make it weaker? I'll vent for a second. Is it possible that instead of men even possibly guessing that they would even ask the women what they would like? My wife prefers davening behind a higher mechitza. I don't know. Some people like different things. Different people have different things that they enjoy or different things that they prefer. I don't know. It is what it is. It is what it is. okay. I don't know. Some don't care that much, but it comes up a lot. You want a shorter law? That's one question. That is not the issue we're speaking about right now. Intriguing as it is. We're speaking about a different hot topic in Pressburg in the 1800s, which is, where do you build the bima? Do you build the bima in the middle of the shul, or do you build the bima in the front of the shul in front of the aro? If you pay attention, I think, in many shuls, you'll see different practices. Some places have the bima in the middle. Some places have it in the middle. In the Young Israel of New Rochelle, as an example, it is in the middle. But if you remember from the, you know what you remember from the old shul, in the old shul it was in the front. The old shul was in the front. When they built the new shul, they changed it to the middle. There are probably logistical reasons why it wasn't possible in the old shul.
It was a church.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I grew up there. I was there when the organ pipes were still there. So that's always a question, where you build the bima. Okay, not a wild shaila. None of us say like, whoa, hot topic. Talk about that in the Monday night, you know? Like one week is like transgender, next week is bima, next week is like, you know, like it's not like... Chasam Sofer got the shaila. They're building a shul and there's pressure on the Rav in that community to rebuild the bima in the front. In the front, okay. So there's two steps to the tshuva itself. One step to the tshuva is pointing out some of the classic makoros that describe binyan beis hakneses and where exactly you should be building the bima. It looks in Rama, you're supposed to build the bima be'emtza. You're supposed to build it in the middle of the shul. Why am I building it in the middle of the shul? So the simple pshat why you build in the middle of the shul is for a very simple reason. That you want to make sure that people can hear. And if it's located in the middle of the shul, people are more likely to be able to hear than if they are in the front. One of the reasons why, think about it like Yamim Noraim time, back in the day when the Beis Medrash was able to be packed on Yamim Noraim, so where is the chazan going to stand? So they move the chazan back a little bit, even though John Pilate, you know, has a very, he can project his voice, but still move it to the middle, people can hear a little bit better. That's not the most, you know. So part of the Shiloh was, Bavanusenu HaRabim, shuls are getting smaller a little bit. And not like this shtiebel scene, but I guess some people are the shuls are not growing the same way. And maybe they want to put it up in the front a little bit to change the structure of how the shul is built. Okay? So one could make the argument, you could argue with Svarat based on the Chesef Mishnah, look at the Chesef Mishnah quoted there, Chesef Sofer, that why not move the bima up a little bit? Move the bima up, it's a very safe thing to do. That way, people have preferred it that way. Maybe it takes up less space, maybe it's even more effective, I don't know. But it has a certain kind of style. Maybe that makes sense to just move it up a little bit. There are people that wanted to do that. Comes the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says, absolutely not. There is no way. There's no way. Why? He does two things that are absolutely fascinating. One, the Chasam Sofer says, he has a chiddush. He has a new vort in why it's in the middle. And why it's in the middle. Why is the beam in the middle? Chasam Sofer says, I'll tell you a chiddush. The chiddush is like this. Many of us know that a shul is a mikdash me'at. A shul is supposed to be, the Gemara tells, Masech Megillah, modeled after the Beis HaMikdash. And we have a variety of halachas in which shuls are modeled after Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shechter Shlita and Eretz HaTzvi has a whole article where he points out a lot of different parallels between shuls and Beis HaMikdash. Says the Chasam Sofer, what is the bima corresponding to in the Beis HaMikdash? What's the bima corresponding to? So he says, you know, on Sukkos, what's one of the things that we do on Sukkos when we do Hoshanas? What's one of the things we do on Sukkos? We circle the bima. What did we circle in the Beis HaMikdash? The Mizbeach. Where is the Mizbeach located in the Mikdash? In the middle. So where should the bima be located? In the middle. It's a very like a chiddush, but it's a chiddush which is very solidly based in a lot of the other Mikoros. That we do have minhagim in which we're treating the bima like a mizbeach. We know the shul is supposed to be like a Beis HaMikdash. There are a lot of parallels as far as the role of the aron. There are some rishonim that even think the yureim, maybe the Rambam, that shuls have kedusha d'oraisa midin the halacha of kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. That shuls are really like, or the Zohar says the same pasuk in Parshas Truma. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti besochem, which commands us to build a mikdash, the Zohar says is also the makar that you're chayav to build a shul. Shuls are like the mikdash. The Chasam Sofer has this chiddush in why bima is in the middle. bimas are in the middle, not only so that we could, people could hear better, but bimas are in the middle because it's a kiyum of this idea of shuls being that. That's step number one for Chasam Sofer. So he's like, I don't really buy so much this idea of like, let's move it to the front, people can hear better. But secondly, says the Chasam Sofer, I always say, hachadas asur min haTorah b'chol makom. What is motivating the need? So here's an important thing to know. One of the shifts, which in the Maskilim, we're trying to sort of really attack, one of the areas was like ritual shul life. Ritual shul life. They were trying to take over and make changes to the way that shuls would go. So Shaila's like, let's say not on Shabbos, but having an organ, having a musical accompaniment in shuls. Or maybe even to figure out, can you have a non-Jew even on Shabbos? Or things like that. Taking away Yikum Porkan. That's why I think they say that the rabbis quote Shadal. Shadal said, according to the Pasuk, when they took away Yikum Porkan, according to the Pasuk in last week's parsha about the Mabul, V'yimachas Kol HaYikum, that they wiped out the entire Yikum. That when they took out Yikum Porkan, they like wiped out everything. I had a friend in yeshiva, I remember, who used to learn a lot. So he said he would often be learning like during the brachas of the Haftorah, and for weeks he like did end up saying Yikum Porkan because he was like, I don't know, still learning. He's like, how important is Yikum Porkan? I don't know. And he found out that was like one of the first things that the Reform sort of like challenged a little bit. So he's like, okay, I think I'll pick up my Yikum Porkan again. But there's something very, the challenge to that, one of the reasons why they were shifting was because there's a lot of questions about how shuls should look. This is not the time for that. But it happens to be, it's fascinating. Some of the questions about like the architecture of shuls. Many of us know, you have a lot of questions of where you put the women's section. You know, are you going to put the bima in the middle and the men half and the women half? It's going to be one of those questions. It's going to be on top. It's going to be on the side. Is a shul going to have like the bima in the middle and it's going to be like everyone sitting sort of like facing the middle like some shuls do? Or is it going to be like more of the standard approach? There's a beam in the middle, but everyone's like facing different shuls, and those shuls are all trying to, you're accomplishing different things by the way that you build it. There's a lot of discussion about how you build it, and wanting to, so it's over, model after what the non-Jews did in their houses of worship, modeling after what's done, what the Maskilim wanted to do, which was to shift things towards the front a little bit. That was a bit of a difference. I think some point out, could be just as far as how much your role in davening is. The more that you're actively like participating, the more the bima's in the middle. The more that like it's like the people in the front are like doing it for you. So the crowd is all sitting there, and like the guy in the front is like doing his thing a little bit. But for the Chasam Sofer, it's a charis asum in haTorah b'chol makom. That's the Chasam Sofer's tshuva. What's amazing about it is the Chasam Sofer is at the same time that he's fighting against the innovation, the primary reason he has to fight against the innovation is a chiddush he has in the sugya of why a bima is in the middle of shul. So it's an amazingly innovative tshuva. He wants to keep the minug, but one of the ways he justifies keeping the minug is by a chiddush, at the same time that he's arguing, ha-chadosh asur min haTorah b'chol makom. In that sense, you find this phenomenon all the time. We're not talking about these hashkafic issues right now. But in tshuvas against, let's say, female rabbis, you often have a lot of chidushim in the tshuva arguing against innovation. That's the way that tshuvas are often written. It makes sense. What's my take on the tshuva? So part of it is I'm against innovation in general. But there's also, I'm against new sort of shifts. But part of it is also, again, there's also obviously a lot of chidush on the other side of them also. But there's often a lot of innovation taking place in a very, there are chidushim here to argue certain things. A lot of great Torah that emerges in the Chasam Sofer as a result of arguing against some of these things. What's fascinating is when you come across Rav Moshe in a tshuva and Igros Moshe on the same topic. And it gives us some insight as far as the way that people look and the way that people learn Chasam Sofer. So the shaila is as follows, Igros Moshe, it's Archaim, Chelek Beis, some Mem Beis. Says Rav Moshe finds something like this. Again, normally we're a little bit more machshava, but this is like a halacha, which in many ways is hashkafa. Says Rav Moshe, b'davar bima she'ena be'emtza. Whoa. I walk into a shul, and the bima is in the front. So he says like this. The shaila was as follows. B'davar bima be'emtza, vade yesh la'asos be'emtza. Of course you have to build it in the middle. You have to build in the middle. There are potential kulas, some of the posts can point out. Look in Piskei Tshuva, certain kulas at times. You have to build in the middle. The shaila was, can I daven in that shul? Can I daven in a shul like that? That's what we call a really intense chiddush. It's from shul, but they built the beam in the front. So the Moshe writes there was a minag, umasha omrim, that in Hungary, asru, in Hungary, by the Talmidim and the Chasam Sofer, not only can you not build it in the middle, but it is usher to daven in a shul that would have a bima all the way in the front. Why? Not because of a narrow, specific, halachic concern, but because, as Moshe points out, umasha omrim, that in Hungary, asru, lo yadu azebevirur, I don't know for sure if it's actually the case, but they do, I don't know. Umistabir, but why are they doing this? And here's part of the step and the intensity of the hashkafa of the Chasam Sofer, and Talmidei Chasam Sofer, but why are they doing this? Shayezerak b'mekomos ha'heim, sh'asuzev b'svil reformim, k'mekomos ha'heim ha'ezem me'aschalos ma'isa reformer ha'rishayim. Says Rav Moshe, that part of what was motivating Chasam Sofer there, and the reason why the minhag developed in Hungary, more intense than Chasam Tshuva, was this is the fight. This is the battle. It's the beginning of a battle. Because it's the beginning of a battle, says Chasam Sofer, we are going to come against that. And the Talmidim said, we won't even daven in those shuls, because that's where the battle lines are drawn. And sometimes, and here's part of the insight and wisdom of Chasam Sofer, when you're talking about newer issues, and you're talking about a basis for Hashkafa, so for the Chasam Sofer, and really everyone agrees to on some level, it is mistaken to only look at things in narrow halachic sources. To only look at things as, can I be mekel or can I be machmir? But rather, the role of a manhig and the role of a posek, understood the Chasam Sofer and his Talmid, Maram Shik and others, was to take into account the larger context. Now, for the Chasam Sofer, that meant that in the larger context, you got to hold the line. And you got to hold the line. And that means that sometimes there'll even be chidushim in justifying holding the line. And suddenly they won't daven in their shuls, not because it's technically, says Rav Moshe, usser, but because in the battle, we can't go there. In the battle, it's considered to be inappropriate. But Rav Moshe says, and here's the interesting thing, which is why it's challenging sometimes learning a Chasam Sofer and applying it. Because sometimes certain truths of Chasam Sofer are against, let's say, reform. But Moshe says, as an example, about this minhag rooted it in Hungary, I'm not going to the shul, says Rav Moshe, umistaber, that's only there, av mekomos acherim, she'en kavanasa bishvil reformim. When the young adult New Rochelle had their beam on the front in the old building, it wasn't because it wanted to be like reform, that was because the structure of the shul, when they built, it wasn't possible to put it somewhere else. Aval bishvil shu yosher mekomos, or Moshe says, you want us to have more seats in the shul. V'o ta'amim ka'elu, Ain la astor milispal sham, ki ain zem meikare dine kedushas beis hakneses, ela kedesha yishmu kolam ispalim, chenu berambam, kesef mitzvah mekel sometimes, says with Moshe, it's really, really all good. What about the Chasam Sofer? He had this really intense tshuva all about it. He says, no, asha ain tam o mukhrach, that's not a compelling reason. It's in the middle because like the Mizbeach. But for sure, l'chadchila, you should hold what he says, but it's okay to daven there. It's okay to daven there. So what you have is as follows. And here I think it's something which is so critical and so important. Let's chazer what we said, and we'll just end with a particular nekuda. We're beginning to learn a little bit about the Chasam Sofer. We're going to learn in the context of others. And for the Chasam Sofer understood that the time in which he lived was a time in which people were very much, many were struggling and were challenging. And when they're struggling and when they're challenging, you got to figure out what you're going to do. On the one hand, the Chasam Sofer is a big believer in the power of Chidushei Torah. Chasam Sofer is a big believer in the power of innovative Torah. The fact that your Olam Haba may be built through the Chidushei Torah that you have. The Ribono Shel Olam Kivyachal, when you say over in Chiddush, quotes you, Bini, Kahu Omer, this is the Torah that he's saying, that when you do it, you are zocha to have upon you the light that comes from Tzion is going to be shining upon you through the Torah. It's not the primary goal. The primary goal is pshat, dinim, but it'll come and we daven for Chidushei Torah every day. V'sein chalkenu v'sorasecha. Let me get my chelek and my chidushim. That's what we daven all the time. But Chatzim Sofer says, the world of Chiddush, I get the world of Chiddush. But when there's a battle taking place, the line, the refrain, I'll keep on coming back to, Ki'achadash aser min haTorah b'chol makom. And the Chasam Sofer becomes one of the primary addresses for all of these new kinds of shailas. And he's going to hold the line. Hachadas aser min haTorah b'chol makom. And there are those that are going to try to say he wasn't so opposed to it. Resh Mem Dalel is really standing for a chemed. He wasn't so opposed. But he was so opposed. He was so opposed. He was someone that really held the line strong, held the line strong. And because of that, he became very influential for a model. It's a model which is coming up out of Yom HaZeh all the time, which is a model of holding the line. A model of Chazas Ratar B'chol Makom. But don't think that there aren't Chidushim, sometimes a beautiful Chidushim, in his Torah, in the way that he's saying it. It's amazingly beautiful. And we looked at one sugya, not an issue which is so pressing for us, as Moshe points out. When people build shuls now, they put the bima where they put the bimas. It's largely not because of like reform reasons why they want it in the front. It's a stylistic kind of a reason. It's, I think even in style, in the middle has a certain style. As far as, again, their participation, the shaykhs to it, something very nice about that. But the chumras can get very, very intense sometimes. They can get very, very intense sometimes. And for the Chasam Sofer, there's something which is powerful and something which he really, again, believed in very, very deeply. It could be that next week, I think, maybe next week we'll speak about Rav Kook's take on all of this, which is radically, radically different. Rav Kook's take about the importance of sanctifying the new, being Mekadesh the Chadash. So maybe we'll speak about a different view next week, because as we can anticipate, this is the background to like 90% of Hashgafic issues nowadays. Is like, how are you looking at things? These are obviously, there are extremes, and every issue could be different. You could be here on one issue and there on a different issue, but it's definitely an underlying idea. Your premise is where do you take things and how do you view them? That's at least some important Torah of the Chasam Sofer, and hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, we'll be able to understand it better.